Working remotely, where you are shouldn't dictate what you do. Work from the road by turning your vehicle into a reliable high-speed data Wi-Fi hotspot with AT&T in-car Wi-Fi. On the network that covers more roads than any other carrier, take your work on the road and AT&T will be there to keep you connected. Connect up to 10 devices and stream conference calls, finish up that presentation, or answer last-minute emails. Why wait? Go to att.com/in-car Wi-Fi today for free trial eligibility. Based on independent third-party data, number of devices varies by manufacturer. Always pay careful attention to the road and don't drive distracted. Wi-Fi hotspot intended for passenger use only when vehicle is in operation. Compatible device and vehicle required.
Now your ideas don't have to wait. Now they have everything they need to come to life. Dell Technologies and Intel are creating technology that loves ideas, loves expanding your business and evolving your passions. They push what technology can do so great ideas can happen right now. Find out how to bring your ideas to life at Dell.com. Welcome to now.
When you think about the future, what kind of technology do you envision? Whatever the future holds, artificial intelligence will undoubtedly be at the heart of it all. Join Graham Class as he hosts Season 2 of Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast, and hear from the minds transforming healthcare, retail, entertainment, personal computing, and more with the help of AI. Tune in every other Tuesday and explore the latest technology that's changing our world today and creating a more accessible tomorrow. Listen to Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What's up, this your boy Lil Duval, and check out my podcast, Conversations with Unc, on the Black Effect Podcast Network. Each and every Tuesday, Conversations with Unc podcast feature casual and in-depth talk about ebbs and flows of life and the pursuit of happiness. Unlike my work on stage, I tap into a more serious and sensitive side to give life advice and simply offer words of encouragement, yet remind folks to never forget to laugh. Every Tuesday, listen to Conversations with Unc, hosted by Lil Duval on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Presented by AT&T. Connecting changes everything. Get in touch with technology with tech stuff from HowStuffWorks.com.
Hey there and welcome to Tech Stuff. I'm your host, Jonathan Strickland. I'm an executive producer with HowStuffWorks and iHeartRadio, and I love all things tech, and it is time for a Tech Stuff classic episode. Today's classic episode originally published on March 5th, 2012. Chris Paulette, my beloved original co-host, sat down with me to talk about legacy technology, legacy systems. These would be old computer systems that are no longer supported necessarily, but still need to stick around for one reason or another. So we have our conversation here about what legacy tech is and why it still exists. It's in an episode that was titled Old Tech Never Dies. I hope you enjoy. Our episode today comes courtesy of a listener, and this one is a message from Twitter. So let's hear that tweeting sound effect. I think I actually heard our producer say doot, doot, do out there.
Tweet, tweet, tweet.
Oh, was it tweet, tweet, tweet?
Yes.
Lovely. I hope that's what we use. Anyway, I won't know till I get to listen to this later, but this comes to us from Wayne P72, who says, would love to hear a show on old tech that won't go away, i.e. the fax. Well, we are going to do an episode about that, but not one on just the fax.
I wanted to do the theme, and I thought,
to Dragnet, yeah, we might get sued. Yeah, I was wondering. I was looking, and I'm like, is he going to do it?
No.
Is he? He's not our guy Friday. So anyway, we are going to talk about technology that a lot of people feel, or at least some people feel, or at least we at TechStuff feel, has run its course and yet is still around.
Yes, and the fax is one of those.
So we actually had a couple that we thought about that we ended up deciding not to include in this list. But we should go ahead and mention them, because a couple of years ago, they may have made the list.
Yeah, that's true. And it's funny, because right before we were going to record, we were talking about how we had done an episode on abandonware, which is stuff that people just give up on.
Yeah, yeah. Usually it's a company that gives up on it. Yeah. But yeah, it's the stuff that people no longer even bother using, and it's just sort of part of history.
Yeah.
This is the opposite.
This is
the stuff people will not let go of. And the two that we were thinking of that we did not include because we just feel that they've both kind of faded away enough so that it's a very small percentage of people that still hold on to these are pagers, which, you know, sometimes some people
– there are a few people who still use them.
Especially folks in like the medical field or whatever will still use them. But pagers have pretty much been replaced by cell phones and smartphones.
Yeah.
And PDAs.
Also replaced primarily by
smartphones. Yeah, so. Personal digital assistants, not public displays of affection. Those will never go out of style. Smoochy, smoochy. So those are the two that we almost included but didn't because we feel that there's just not enough of a population supporting them to merit being on this list.
Yeah. Well, so since Wayne brought this up, we probably should go ahead and start with fax machines.
Yes.
And yeah, I mean, the fax machine still used in many, many offices. You still see people's fax numbers. You know, there's one out there in the office.
Yeah, I've actually used it quite a few times.
Yep. But the thing is, I mean, while it uses, you know, of course, it uses a similar imaging technology to a scanner
or a
copier machine.
Mm-hmm.
There's nothing really wrong with it. It, you know, it has a modem. That's part of the problem, I think. It has a modem in it. And, you know, when you scan some stuff in, it saves it in memory. These days it does anyway. You don't have to put it in one page at a time, although you used to.
Yes.
Or you put it on there and it dials a number and makes a connection with the fax machine on the other side, just like you would, with a dial up internet connection. You know, there's a handshake between the two devices. They agree on the protocol and it says, okay, go ahead, send your whatever message this is going to be. And, you know, the fax either takes the information from memory or it scans each page individually and sends it along down the line really slowly.
And the receiving machine receives that information, decodes it, changes it into the type of information it needs in order to print, prints to some paper, and then you have the fax on the other end.
Yep, which somebody puts in a tray and it never gets to the person it's supposed to.
Did you ever have to use a fax machine that had a roll of paper as opposed to individual sheets?
Yeah, they had the thermal printers.
Yes.
And of course that just curls up.
Yes.
Also, it's coated with phthalates.
Yes.
Anyway.
I do not miss those days.
No.
So today we
What will we do instead?
Right. What we could do is, let's say we have a scanner and we just scan a document in and send it via, you know, change it over to, say, a PDF format, which is readily available. It's easy to find a reader for PDF.
A
free reader. And a lot of word processing programs and things are capable of reading a PDF file. And you just send that via email, and you don't have to worry about wasting paper or any of that mess. Or if, say, a fax machine is busy with a call, then you won't get a rejection and have to try it again. That's another thing that can be kind of irritating with sending a fax. Let's say you've got like a 20-page fax and you start going through, and you don't know until it's gone through all 20 pages, stored it in memory, and tried to send it that it didn't go through successfully. Maybe you didn't put in the number correctly. Maybe the machine on the other end is not turned on properly, or it's busy. And then you have to try and do it again.
Yes.
It's so irritating. But then, you know, yeah, scanning it and sending it via PDF, much more paper friendly anyway. You don't have to worry about wasting so much paper.
Yes.
And also, yeah, it's not so time consuming. That being said, I still fax things because often some of the conferences I go to request that I send credentials and I have to send them via fax. Not all of them accept email. Plus, depending upon your access to a scanner or a copier that can have scanning functionality, you may not have that luxury.
Mm-hmm.
So I think fax machine is kind of borderline on this because there is technology out there that can do stuff that would replace the fax machine. I don't know that it's propagated widely enough yet for it to really happen. I mean, especially for small businesses. For large businesses, almost all of them have some sort of scanner or copier that can replace a fax machine.
Sure. I think we're on the verge, really, of this being a technology that's like that. But it's far enough along the way that you could make the argument. I think it's a valid argument. to include it on this list, but there's some other stuff I think that merits that.
Oh, hit me with one.
Well,
let's talk about
this one is also on the verge.
Okay.
Landlines.
Yeah, landlines, again, more and more people are abandoning a landline in favor of just having a cell phone because, mm-hmm. you know, for one thing, a lot of people don't want to have to deal with two different phone bills or have like something packaged up where they have fewer choices. You know, there are a lot of services out there that will package a cell phone and landline offering, right?
Yeah, where like, you can get like a bundle.
Yeah, you can get it bundled, but then you are limited to whatever options they have. You don't, you can't just go out and say, oh, I happen to really love this one particular phone. I want that to go with this plan. That's not the way that works.
Yeah. As a matter of fact, I think you see that primarily from companies that offer both landlines and, you know, you don't see a lot of cell phone providers going, hey, you know what? We're going to get into the landline business.
Yeah. It's not, well, it's kind of hard to edge into that. But landlines are starting to kind of disappear. Now, there are some legitimate reasons why keeping a landline around is not a bad idea.
What, like emergency calls?
Emergency calls is a big one because your call can be traced to your location very easily over a landline so that let's say there's an emergency where you can't even vocalize, maybe, which can happen. You know, sometimes dialing an emergency number, that's all you might be able to do. Well, with a landline, they're going to be able to find you. With a cell phone or smartphone, they may not be able to get your location as accurately as they could with over a landline or even a VoIP line. You'll find out that a lot of VoIP services have issues with calling emergency services. That being said, that you can usually get a landline phone and plug it into any outlet, and it'll still allow you to make emergency calls even if you don't have a landline account.
Mm-hmm.
So you can still make a call to, well, in the United States, a call to 911, for example.
Yeah.
In the UK, that number is a really, really long one, according to the IT crowd, and you have to sing it to a song. But
okay.
Anyway, it's an episode that anyone who's watched the IT crowd will get that. Anyone who hasn't, you should go watch the IT crowd because it's awesome. Or the IT crowd if you prefer. Anyway, the other reason, besides for emergencies, is that it's something that if there's a power outage on cell service, mm-hmm. you have an alternate means of communication.
Right.
So not just personal emergencies, but regional emergencies is a good thing to have. That being said, I think it is more common to run into people who have just adopted the cell phone only approach.
Yeah.
I mean, my household is that way.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, yeah.
Well, you can take it with you and, you know, you have your phone no matter where you are.
Yeah.
So when you're at home, you have your phone.
Well, that and the phone itself is really, for a lot of people, myself included, it's transitioning into a device that I use to access the internet more than I use for voice communication.
Yeah.
Because almost all my communication now, or a lot of my communication now, is through text messages, email, and social networking services. It's you know, I usually make two or three calls a day, but they're very short and they're usually between me and my wife.
Yeah.
Mostly me apologizing for something stupid I've done. I'm sorry, baby. That's how every single conversation starts.
It's amazing. I've actually heard one side of that conversation before.
Yeah. Well, yeah. But it's not a rare thing.
So do you have a list set
I
up?
Do.
Do you have
I do.
That
How
you
about this?
Okay.
Calculators and adding machines.
Interesting.
Because there's
computers do
computers
it?
Do it. Smartphones do it. I mean, you've got
even birds and bees do it.
You've got a lot of calculators built into other devices. So to see a standalone calculator is kind of interesting in the sense, you know, we have the technology at our fingertips almost all the time. So why do we need standalone calculators apart from scientific calculators?
Yeah.
Which, I mean,
or graphing calculators.
And a lot of computers and smartphones can do that. You just have to get the apps for it.
Mm-hmm.
But I can understand someone wanting one of those as opposed to a phone. And there are certain applications where I can be a little more lenient. For example, let's say that you are in a university class and you have a final, mm-hmm. and you're allowed to have a calculator next to your work on your final. You might not be allowed to have a smartphone because you might use the smartphone to cheat,
yep,
right?
Yep.
So in that case, I can – that's a specific case where I'm like, all right, I understand that. But for a lot of the things that we use calculators for, either a calculator program on a computer or a smartphone or a spreadsheet can do all of that work, sometimes in a way that's much easier, because mm-hmm. you can do things like in a spreadsheet, you can copy and paste formulas so that you don't have to keep entering in the same thing over and over for different calculations. You just cut and paste, or copy and paste rather, not cut and paste.
Right.
So to me, though, that's another old technology that I'm surprised is still around,
mm-hmm.
at least in at the level that it's still around.
Mm-hmm.
How about you? Got another one?
Well, to stick with our earlier topic,
uh-huh.
the phone book.
Ah, yes, the Yellow Pages. Why? Why does that exist? Why are we killing trees?
Well, because not everyone has access to the the internet to look
yeah.
something up. Although you could argue that they would also have access to it, by calling and, checking in with directory assistance. I think, though, that, I think that's a safe argument for printing the phone book. Now, the question is, do they need to, here in the United States, I don't know how they do it everywhere else in the world. Here in the United States, at least where we are, they deliver a phone book to everybody's house.
Yes, there should be an opt-out.
Yes, it would be nice to have people opt in, say, yes, I do want the phone book.
Yes.
Or really an opt-out would probably be better.
Yeah, yeah. But that way you
could start with.
Yeah, that way you could say, I've got the internet, I can look up stuff on there, I've got all the numbers I need of the friends I have.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of my friends aren't listed in the phone book.
Mm-hmm.
They don't want to be listed there. So the businesses almost all have some sort of web presence. And even
right.
if they don't, there are a lot of online directories that take the place of Yellow Pages. So, yeah, that's one of those things where I think I would love to not receive that. Now, it does raise the question that if we were to enact that,
mm-hmm.
we being Kristen, myself, because we have that kind of power.
Right.
So Tech Stuff enacts this thing where we're able to opt out of the Yellow Pages delivery. If enough people opted out, then would that change the economy of scale of producing the Yellow Pages so that producing a fewer amount for the people who stay in is actually more expensive per book, and therefore it becomes a problem to fund the printing of the Yellow Pages?
Yeah. Yeah. Of course, part of the
we make it up in volume is what I'm saying.
Yeah, part of the problem there is that the Yellow Pages makes its money from advertising.
Mm-hmm.
Those big ads that you see on different places for, when you go look up the plumber or somebody else, the moving company, and you see the full page ads, they paid to reach a certain number of people. Oh, well, we're going to print 2 million copies of this. Okay, maybe that's kind of large. We're going to print 500,000 copies of this. And so your ad is going to be there in everyone's home that we deliver this to. If they said, okay, well, we're only going to print 10,000 of these books for people who really need them, then they can't command that kind of price.
Yeah, that's true.
So, I don't think we're going to be able to talk them out of dropping them off on our door, because I promptly put them in the recycle bin. But.
Yeah, yeah. So here's a similar thing to that.
Okay.
In the sense that, I know the reason why they're still around.
Right.
But it's kind of, again, a dying thing. CDs that you need to install programs.
Ah, yes. And they're really similar when you get right down to it.
Yeah.
In both cases, not everyone has the technology they need to get the information
in an alternate way. Yeah. But yeah, for a lot of people, they're buying computers now that may not even have an optical drive.
Mm-hmm.
So there's no use for that CD.
Or DVD.
Or DVD. Yeah, it's just taking up space because there's no way to put that in your machine. What you would need is some sort of USB drive, or you would have to connect to the internet mm-hmm. and download whatever drivers you might need for something, as opposed to having a CD for it. And I would love to see thumb drives take the place of those, just for saving space, plus the fact that if you can wipe whatever's on that thumb drive off if you don't need it, then you've got some extra storage space. I'm not saying that I do that frequently. I'm just saying I got a lot of thumb drives.
Yeah.
Yeah. With a lot of logos on them.
Well, we're getting toward the end of my list to the point where...
I've got so many more.
Well, I've got more on here. But those are the things that we've talked about so far. are things that we sort of think about that, you go, man, why do people have that? Then you realize that, well, really, there are quite a number of people that still depend on those. Do you have some more of those?
Oh, sure.
Okay, because I have
CDs
some...
and DVDs in general.
Yeah,
I think fall into that category, and even Blu-rays at some to some extent. I think these are not as far along as say the Yellow Pages, but. And a lot of companies are very concerned about the fact that these are technologies that are slowly becoming obsolete.
Mm-hmm.
And digital distribution is becoming the buzz phrase for mm-hmm. entertainment. And that causes concern for multiple industries.
Netflix.
Right? Netflix thinks it's awesome.
Well, no, the thing is, though, they tripped on it on this very thing because they were ready to move
to
on
pure digital distribution.
And people aren't ready to do it.
People are not ready yet. Yeah, there is a balance you have to strike between pushing people toward a new technology and riding out the wave so that you don't alienate your customer base, right? But the people I think, or the organizations that I think are really concerned with this, so you have the MPAA. The RIAA.
Yep.
So that's the Motion Picture Association of America and the Recording Industry Association of America. So you've got these two different major organizations that have lots and lots of really big companies in them. And they're very much concerned about this because they make a lot of money selling physical media, actual physical products that have content on them, whether they're movies, television shows, music, whatever.
Books.
So moving from that to a digital one scares a lot of companies for legitimate reasons.
For legitimate reasons.
We're not saying that they shouldn't be scared. And then you've got retail organizations.
Mm-hmm.
So we've already seen in the United States several retail organizations over the last few years go belly up because they cannot compete with the digital distribution method.
Yep. Hard to find a record store anymore.
Right. You walk into a Best Buy and suddenly all the music and movies aren't front and center like they used to be.
Yeah.
It used to be that as soon as you walked into the store, all of that was front loaded right there at the very beginning of the store. So you had to walk through it. Well, as digital distribution gets more and more popular, that section moves further and further back in the store.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a reason for that. It's because you can't have that be the focus of your store when that whole business model is starting to deteriorate.
Right.
So I put that along the same lines as the installation CDs and the Yellow Pages. It's not quite as far along. I mean, again, if you don't have a broadband connection, then physical media is the way to go because
mm-hmm.
you cannot physically get the information you need to be able to watch the content or listen to the content you want at a good enough quality.
Right.
Otherwise, you're going to be buffering every 30 seconds. Trust me, I know what I'm talking about. Until recently, that was me.
Yeah. Yeah.
Then there are other technologies that I think kind of died out and then came back.
Well, there's one that needs to go, especially here in the United States.
Hit me.
Incandescent light bulbs.
Ah, it's a good one. I didn't have that on my list.
Yep. The good old light bulb that has its roots in Edison's and other people's work.
Yep.
A lot of people say that Edison didn't actually invent the light bulb.
Right. He improved upon a design.
Yeah, well, he was instrumental, though, in getting it into our homes.
Yeah, without him, whenever we had a bright idea, we'd have no way of putting some sort of indicator around our heads to let people know we had a bright idea.
Yeah, you didn't hear that little ping noise, just sort of,
and no little light bulb over your head. It'd be like something like, a tweet.
Anyhow.
Yeah.
They use a lot more electricity. They give off a lot more heat.
Yes.
Wasted energy. And other products have come along that are superior toward it.
Yeah.
To it.
Like fluorescence and LEDs.
Yeah, of course, fluorescence. Now, they have their own problems, of course.
Yes.
There is mercury in them. You don't want to just go around smashing fluorescence on the stuff.
And LED lights tend to be more expensive.
Yes.
So
LEDs are very expensive, but they last a whole lot longer and use a lot less electricity.
Right.
We're still in that transition phase, but we don't have to use incandescents, and some societies have already outlawed them.
Yes, that's
the United States is moving away from them, and of course, it's a big country. There are lots of people. Unfortunately, they're dirt cheap.
Yes. That's the, when you get the economics involved, people might say, I understand why you want us to move away from these, but these are affordable to us. Even if you present the argument of, well, a fluorescent light bulb is going to last longer, therefore you're going to have to buy fewer of them, and then the economy ends up paying out in the long run. Some people are living in a short-term kind of lifestyle.
Absolutely. I mean,
through no fault of their own, they cannot look that far ahead because that's not the way the economy works out for them.
Mm-hmm.
I've been there too. I've been in that situation where it's paycheck to paycheck, and you think, well, I would love to be more environmentally friendly, and I would love to have something that's going to last longer, but I honestly cannot put that in my budget.
Right.
It's tough.
It's not going to be much longer, though.
Nope. Before there's no choice in the matter.
Right. So...
yeah, that's a good one. Well, there's the technology I was talking about that essentially died out and has then never really died out, but it definitely faded away and then has come back. Do you know what I'm talking about?
Do you mean the operating system that just won't die?
No, I'm not, but we can talk about that.
Okay.
Hey, it's Jonathan from 2019 busting in here to this 2012 episode to say we got more to say about legacy tech, but first let's take a quick break to thank our sponsor.
Working remotely, where you are shouldn't dictate what you do. Work from the road by turning your vehicle into a reliable high-speed data Wi-Fi hotspot with AT&T in-car Wi-Fi. On the network that covers more roads than any other carrier, take your work on the road and AT&T will be there to keep you connected. Connect up to 10 devices and stream conference calls, finish up that presentation, or answer last-minute emails. Why wait? Go to att.com/in-car Wi-Fi today for free trial eligibility. Based on independent third-party data, number of devices varies by manufacturer. Always pay careful attention to the road and don't drive distracted. Wi-Fi hotspot intended for passenger use only when vehicle is in operation. Compatible device and vehicle required.
Now your ideas don't have to wait. Now they have everything they need to come to life. Dell Technologies and Intel are creating technology that loves ideas, loves expanding your business and evolving your passions. They push what technology can do so great ideas can happen right now. Find out how to bring your ideas to life at Dell.com. Welcome to now.
When you think about the future, what kind of technology do you envision? Whatever the future holds, artificial intelligence will undoubtedly be at the heart of it all. Join Graham Class as he hosts Season 2 of Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast from Ruby Studio in partnership with Intel. Explore the future of technology that's rapidly evolving our world today with the help of AI. There is still so much work and research needed to fully understand the power and potential of AI, and Intel is at the forefront of implementing AI in revolutionary technology that's changing the world we live in for the better. In each episode, Graham interviews the minds transforming medicine and healthcare, retail, entertainment, personal computing, and more, while pioneering new uses for AI in these spaces. Tune in every other Tuesday and explore the latest technology that's changing our world today and creating a more accessible tomorrow. Listen to Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Today I'm going to give you some straightforward advice on how to deal with naughty kids. How about instead of timeouts, time ins? Time for you to start paying some bills. I'm JB Smoove, and that was a full episode of my new podcast, Straightforward, inspired by guaranteed straightforward pricing from AT&T Fiber. Get what you want without the complicated. AT&T Fiber, live like a gigillionaire. Available wherever you get your podcast. Limited availability in select areas. Visit AT&T.com/hypergig for details.
So you're talking about XP?
Windows XP.
Windows XP. All right. So Windows XP was one of those things that got widespread adoption, particularly in the business world.
Well, it was such an improvement on its predecessor.
Yeah.
You know, Windows 2000.
Yeah.
And, I mean, it's a
functional system.
Let's face it. You know, taking everything aside, if you put all the operating systems together on a table, XP is a great operating system.
Yeah.
It's in general, it's pretty stable. It's a workhorse. So many companies have standardized on XP that they're comfortable with it. And that, I think, is the reason it's stuck around, is really the corporate world You know, I used to work for a company that would stay one generation of Windows back from what the cutting edge was because everything was stable. They got it where it was working. They had thousands of people to support. And they wanted to make sure all the service packs were out before they would update to the next operating system.
Yeah, if you have thousands of employees for your company, then you want something that's going to be stable, because if you start having failures, you're going to spend more time responding to problems than you can doing business. And that's just not a very smart way of doing things. So staying with a tried and true system makes sense. This is somewhat complicated by the fact that even though we're at Windows 7, so we're two generations beyond Windows XP now, Windows Vista has a stigma on it about being an undependable, overinflated, difficult-to-use operating system. Now, some of the problems that Vista had early on were addressed by Microsoft.
Yes.
You know, so it's a different system than it was when it debuted. Mm-hmm. But that being said, that first impression was so negative that a lot of companies that's where they drew the line. They said, we are not going to Windows Vista because it's just too many – there are too many problems. Beyond that, though, a related term to this outdated technology idea is the legacy system.
Right.
So a legacy system is any kind of system. It doesn't have to be technology. But in technology, what we're talking about is some sort of system that is a core component of the way a business does business.
Mm-hmm.
And you want to keep that core component going, and replacing it would mean having to reinvent an enormous amount of your business.
Mm-hmm.
So let's say you've got some sort of computer program that is instrumental to what you do,
mm-hmm.
and it runs perfectly on Windows XP. That's the foundation that it was built for.
Right.
So then when the new operating systems come out, they may not support that legacy system. So you are forced to stay with an older operating system, or else you can't do business.
Right.
So that's one reason why a lot of companies are still on Windows XP. They have some sort of program, software application that runs on XP and will not run on anything else.
Right.
And in order for them to be able to run on something else, they'd have to pour so many resources into building a new tool that does the same thing that their old tool, which is still working perfectly fine for what they need. It just doesn't make sense.
Right.
You know, that much time, money, and effort. You could say, well, we could put that toward this and then update all our systems and then hope everything works. Or we could stick with what we have and just concentrate on doing business.
Yep. And, you know, if you have Windows 7 at home and XP at work, you may be frustrated by this. But that you're not really the person that is the most frustrated.
Yes.
The people who are most frustrated by this are the ones working in Redmond, Washington,
yes,
at Microsoft, who have been trying to convince both the casual user and the corporate user to switch over to Windows 7.
Yes.
And the thing is, Windows XP just works.
Yeah, they now Microsoft has stopped supporting it.
Yep. And they've basically said, look, we're not going to do anything for you. They don't distribute it anymore, really.
It's an 11-year-old operating system.
That said, in researching this yesterday, Jonathan and I ran across some very interesting news.
Oh, good grief.
There was an article in ZDNet Australia that quoted statistics from Net Applications. In December 2011, and Windows XP is the dominant operating system out there. It had 46.5% of market share.
Yes.
And in January 2012, it had 47.19% market share. Windows XP is growing, is continuing to increase in adoption rate.
Excuse me for a second while I bang my head against the microphone.
No.
Carry on.
So anyhow, Vista is in third place among the Windows operating systems, and Windows 7 is increasing as well. But imagining that an operating system has been discontinued is technically no longer supported, you know, and is increasing in market share, that's kind of impressive.
Yeah, no, that's not the worst of it, though. XP story is kind of mind-blowing, but that's not the most mind-blowing story you sent me.
No. And this is – the thing is these two are tied together, and those of you in the know are going to go, uh-oh.
Yeah.
But no, the reason I mentioned XP first is because Windows XP works.
Yes.
It does what it's supposed to. It's stable. It's pretty secure. But
in contrast,
there's another technology that Microsoft would really, 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 really like to see end of life.
Yes.
By everyone.
And yet.
And for very good reasons. And yet it also increased in market share.
please go ahead and reveal what it was.
Internet Explorer 6. Internet Explorer 6 also increased in adoption rate.
So Internet Explorer 6, now that... words fail me, really.
Microsoft has tried its best
to kill Internet Explorer 6. It's not a safe system to use.
It's not. And websites will warn you when you go on IE6.
And there are websites that you can't see if you have Internet Explorer 6. You try and go to that website and you won't be able to view it.
Please, if you are using IE6, update.
Please try anything. Try the newest version of Internet Explorer. We're not even telling you to switch brands. You can update to the latest version of Internet Explorer, and it is going to be a world of difference. The only reason I could see anyone using IE6 is that they have a machine too old to run anything better.
Yeah. Well, there are some... The reasons to use legacy systems in a lot of cases have to do with a specific... tool.
Yes. If you are, so let's say that you've got a corporation.
Yes.
And that corporation has an internal network, an intranet.
Yes.
Not an internet. And that in order to access this intranet, you need to use a specific kind of browser because it was built to support a specific type of browser.
Right.
Then I could understand as well having Internet Explorer 6. I would pity that person because that is a miserable experience. But that could be the case. You could have a corporate system where, let's say you need to go in and manage things like a digital timesheet, mm-hmm. or you have to request some vacation time or sick time, or you're doing something like you might even be putting in things like an employee record into a company's intranet system, mm-hmm. and the only way you can access it is through an outdated browser. There are plenty of systems that are like that. I've seen lots of them where they will tell you, don't use any other version of any other browser because some of the functionality will not work if you use it. You might be able to see some stuff and access some of the stuff that's on the corporate intranet, but you're not going to be able to get the full run of it unless you use this particular browser.
Yeah. An article on Ars Technica published on February 1st, 2012, said that in January, Internet Explorer grew more, its market share grew more than any other browser. In fact, Chrome went down a little bit, but the biggest share of that growth for IE was in IE6. So, people are going to write in to tell you that was really loud.
Yeah. Well,
And I understand. See, the thing is that one of the things that's common about most of these technologies is that there's some good reason why some people are going to want to use it. You know, perhaps you have a machine that just won't go it won't run Vista or Windows 7 or Windows 8. You have a machine where you have an intranet where you might need to use IE6 to run it. Otherwise, it won't work.
You have a parent who thinks AOL is the internet.
Yes, that's possible. I mean, for the light bulb thing, the socket fits the same size. I really don't have a...
Yeah.
They're cheap. There is a reason to use that. The thing is that the majority of people still using IE6 and Windows XP, the majority of those people probably are not doing it because their computers are slower, because they are reliant on a legacy system. It's probably more because their corporation won't let them update.
Right.
Or they just don't know.
Yeah, there are a lot of people who just they just don't know that there is a better way out there.
Mm-hmm.
To them, they've associated a specific kind of browser with that's the internet.
Yep.
It's not that's
true.
The browser you use to access the internet. No, that is to them, that is the internet. It's or a little box with a little blinking light on the top. It doesn't weigh anything. It's kept up top of Big Ben.
Yeah, this is definitely the type of water cooler thing where you stand around and go, yeah, why do people still use that? I mean, in general, there's a reason why people still use some of these things, but why some of them are so widespread is another question.
I still have a few more.
Oh, you do?
Yes. There's really? The one that I said had died out but came back.
Oh.
This really.
I thought you meant IE6.
No. This is one that.
Yeah, I guess it didn't die out.
This is a different one. And okay. This is one that didn't really die out either.
Oh, okay.
But it's one of those where it's more for nostalgia's sake, I think, than anything else.
The Dreamcast?
Vinyl.
Oh, yeah.
So vinyl records is what we're talking about, not the material vinyl, but yes. vinyl record albums.
Yeah.
So, something you would play on a record player. There are people who argue, audiophiles, who argue that the vinyl gives the best, truest sound to whatever the original recording is. And there are others who say that that's a bunch of baloney, that if you are using the proper digital equipment, there is no humanly detectable way of differentiating the two. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to go into that too much because it's frankly something that I would need to see a lot more studies on, because there are lots of different arguments to either side. And there are certain people out there who have very, very finely attuned senses of hearing that might be able to detect those differences. I'm not one of them. I do not have a great sense of hearing, so perhaps the fault is on me and not on the technology. But still, it's interesting to me that vinyl has never really gone away, considering that a lot of the trend has been to favor convenience over perceived quality.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Because when MP3s got really popular, a lot of them were recorded at terrible bit rates, and you were losing a lot of information. And
right.
In some cases, that was detectable. You could tell that you were losing some of the highs and lows. There wasn't a whole lot of variation between the lowest of the lows and the highest of the highs, so you weren't getting a really dynamic sound like you could with a better recording.
Mm-hmm.
But today, that's not as big an issue.
Right. Well, with people having higher bandwidth connections,
mm-hmm.
They're more willing to do that, because you're able to include some of the frequencies that make the sound richer.
Yeah.
But yeah.
That's one of those where I'm just surprised. Now, that being said, I own a lot of vinyl, folks. I'm a vinyl fan.
And there's been a resurgence in manufacturing. Vinyl,
yeah,
which is funny because the equipment almost completely died out.
Yeah, there was a time in the late 80s and into the 90s where finding a turntable was, if you weren't buying DJ equipment, it was pretty much you had to go to like some sort of hobby store or
like
used
an audiophile.
Yeah. And now you can find them all over the place. In fact, I see them, like, I've seen plenty of ones that you plug in via USB to a computer where you can rip things to MP3, or you can actually just listen to it over a computer, or plug it into another sound system.
Mm-hmm.
It's been enjoying a resurgence. Nowhere near what it was when that was the way to listen to music.
Yeah.
You know, I don't want to give the wrong impression, but it has come back from what looked like it was going to go extinct.
Yeah, and a lot of independent bands have been recording and releasing their records on vinyl.
Yeah, pressing to vinyl.
Because truth be told, it's not as expensive as you might think.
Yeah.
It's enjoyed a resurgence in popularity for bands as a, hey, look how cool we are. We have a vinyl record.
Yeah, it's kind of a gimmick almost.
But, in a way.
Yeah, for some folks. Yeah, yeah.
Jonathan from 2019 again. I am busy making my own legacy. So while I do, why don't we take a quick break to thank our sponsor.
Working remotely, where you are shouldn't dictate what you do. Work from the road by turning your vehicle into a reliable high-speed data Wi-Fi hotspot with AT&T in-car Wi-Fi. On the network that covers more roads than any other carrier, take your work on the road and AT&T will be there to keep you connected. Connect up to 10 devices and stream conference calls, finish up that presentation, or answer last-minute emails. Why wait? Go to att.com/in-car Wi-Fi today for free trial eligibility. Based on independent third-party data, number of devices varies by manufacturer. Always pay careful attention to the road and don't drive distracted. Wi-Fi hotspot intended for passenger use only when vehicle is in operation. Compatible device and vehicle required.
Now your ideas don't have to wait. Now they have everything they need to come to life. Dell Technologies and Intel are creating technology that loves ideas, loves expanding your business and evolving your passions. They push what technology can do, so great ideas can happen right now. Find out how to bring your ideas to life at Dell.com. Welcome to now. When you think about the future, what kind of technology do you envision? Whatever the future holds, artificial intelligence will undoubtedly be at the heart of it all. Join Graham Klass as he hosts Season 2 of Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast from Ruby Studio in partnership with Intel. Explore the future of technology that's rapidly evolving our world today with the help of AI. There is still so much work and research needed to fully understand the power and potential of AI, and Intel is at the forefront of implementing AI in revolutionary technology that's changing the world we live in for the better. In each episode, Graham interviews the minds transforming medicine and healthcare, retail, entertainment, personal computing, and more, while pioneering new uses for AI in these spaces. Tune in every other Tuesday and explore the latest technology that's changing our world today and creating a more accessible tomorrow. Listen to Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Today I'm going to give you some straightforward advice on how to deal with naughty kids. How about instead of timeouts, time ins? Time for you to start paying some bills. I'm J.B. Smoove, and that was a full episode of my new podcast, Straightforward, inspired by guaranteed straightforward pricing from AT&T Fiber. Get what you want without the complicated. AT&T Fiber, live like a gigillionaire. Available wherever you get your podcast. Limited availability in select areas. Visit AT&T.com/hypergig for details.
Working remotely, where you are shouldn't dictate what you do. Work from the road by turning your vehicle into a reliable high-speed data Wi-Fi hotspot with AT&T in-car Wi-Fi. On the network that covers more roads than any other carrier, take your work on the road and AT&T will be there to keep you connected. Connect up to 10 devices and stream conference calls, finish up that presentation, or answer last-minute emails. Why wait? Go to att.com/in-car Wi-Fi today for free trial eligibility. Based on independent third-party data, number of devices varies by manufacturer. Always pay careful attention to the road and don't drive distracted. Wi-Fi hotspot intended for passenger use only when vehicle is in operation. Compatible device and vehicle required.
Now your ideas don't have to wait. Now they have everything they need to come to life. Dell Technologies and Intel are creating technology that loves ideas, loves expanding your business and evolving your passions. They push what technology can do, so great ideas can happen right now. Find out how to bring your ideas to life at Dell.com. Welcome to now. When you think about the future, what kind of technology do you envision? Whatever the future holds, artificial intelligence will undoubtedly be at the heart of it all. Join Graham Klass as he hosts Season 2 of Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast from Ruby Studio in partnership with Intel. Explore the future of technology that's rapidly evolving our world today with the help of AI. There is still so much work and research needed to fully understand the power and potential of AI, and Intel is at the forefront of implementing AI in revolutionary technology that's changing the world we live in for the better. In each episode, Graham interviews the minds transforming medicine and healthcare, retail, entertainment, personal computing, and more, while pioneering new uses for AI in these spaces. Tune in every other Tuesday and explore the latest technology that's changing our world today and creating a more accessible tomorrow. Listen to Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Today I'm going to give you some straightforward advice on how to deal with naughty kids. How about instead of timeouts, time ins? Time for you to start paying some bills. I'm J.B. Smoove, and that was a full episode of my new podcast, Straightforward, inspired by guaranteed straightforward pricing from AT&T Fiber. Get what you want without the complicated. AT&T Fiber, live like a gigillionaire. Available wherever you get your podcast. Limited availability in select areas. Visit AT&T.com/hypergig for details.
I also wrote down typewriters because they still have not died away.
I haven't seen a typewriter in public in a long time.
No, but I used to work in an office that still used typewriters to fill out forms. Instead of trying to create digital forms, they still had physical forms and physical typewriters that you had to use to fill out the forms. It was not that long ago, so I have them down here.
Okay.
I mean, maybe they've died out in the 5 years since I joined How Stuff Works. It's possible, That's long enough, but I have a feeling that if I went back to this office, I'd still find that typewriter.
Okay.
And it would be mocking me, as it always did. And then, let's see, do I have anything else? Like, yes, there is something else I have.
Mm-hmm.
Scheduled television.
Ah, yes.
Yeah, because now we've reached a point where with the invention of DVRs,
mm-hmm.
and with streaming services like Hulu and Netflix, the importance of a TV schedule has decreased dramatically.
Yeah.
Right? Like back in the day, you would have to plan your night around your stories.
Yep.
If you wanted to watch television. So if you wanted to watch, you know, a particular sitcom, you had to be there in front of your TV at 8 p.m. on a Thursday night, or else you weren't going to see it.
Yep.
Or you had to set a VCR to tape it later on. You could do that. But, yeah, now
but before that even, you know, before VCRs became household items, you know.
Yeah.
And that's another one, too.
Yeah.
But VCRs are pretty much on the way out.
They're pretty much dead. Yeah, VCRs are almost dead. So, but yeah, the scheduled television stuff, before there were VCRs, the only other option you had was to set your kid down and have the kid just act out the entire episode when you got home so you could find out what happened on MASH. I know seasons 2 through 4, like the back of my hand.
All right.
Anyway, but yeah, that now we have DVRs and we have streaming services. Even DVRs now are starting to kind of reach a point where I think a lot of people are moving away entirely from worrying about recording stuff that's on the air right now.
Well, for one thing, so many of them come out on DVD later.
Yeah.
Or in some other form as a collection. So you can catch up on an entire series.
Yeah, all at once if you wanted to. Yeah, so I think that's one of those dying technologies, and you know that's a tough one because mm-hmm. again, that's another one that's industry that will completely change industries.
Yeah,
and anything that's going to completely change an industry, it's going to be a tumultuous and drawn out affair.
Yeah,
it's not something that happens very quickly. Usually, unless it's catastrophic. But normally it's going to take a while. There's going to be a lot of resistance. We're seeing that. There's a lot mm-hmm. of resistance to it for good reason, again, because the economies that are involved are huge.
Yeah.
And the considerations you have to make are enormous. And, you know, the fact that there's just not as much money mm-hmm. streaming to the internet as there would be going through a cable or broadcast approach,
mm-hmm.
right? That's the truth. There's not as much money there. And if you've got a big corporation that requires a lot of money to generate the content that it makes, that raises some very tough questions. Like, where do you start making cuts? Do you make huge cuts in the corporate personnel? Do you also have to make huge cuts in the production costs for your shows or your movies? There's been a lot of discussion about that recently with movie blockbusters, about whether or not the blockbuster itself is perhaps an outdated concept. Mm-hmm. That perhaps we've really pushed the concept of blockbusters so far that they are having these massive overinflated budgets.
Yeah.
And maybe it's time to stop that and really focus on making movies a different way where it's more efficient and economical. And maybe the focus isn't so much on spectacle. Now that's a totally separate argument, but it does at least tangentially tie into this idea of the scheduled TV event where we don't have to be in front of our sets at a set time and place anymore.
Right.
You know, we have a lot more flexibility to get entertainment on demand, with the exception of things like live events, like sports and things like that. So I think that is definitely on the bubble.
Yeah.
You know, in another maybe 5 or 10 years, scheduled TV is going to be kind of a thing of the past, with the exception of live events.
Yeah. Well, I think, too, that that's going to require more people to have availability of the technology.
Yeah.
You know, because not everyone can afford a DVR.
or even
or broadband internet access.
But we're starting to see that stuff being built into the television sets themselves.
True.
So again, in 5 or 10 years, you're going to have the average TV set sold at whatever store you go to is going to have a lot of internet connectivity stuff built into it. Mm-hmm. Now, that doesn't solve the problem of broadband penetration. If you don't have broadband penetration, it doesn't matter how advanced your TV is, you're not going to be able to get that content.
Right.
But assuming that the broadband penetration problem has been addressed enough so that there is this transition, mm-hmm. then I think we do see an end to the scheduled TV approach. And you just, what you'll do is you turn your television on and you say, I want to watch this one particular program. I want to watch this one particular episode, and it pulls it up. And it may be that it's a subscription-based thing. It may be it's a per-episode payment thing. I'm not saying that it's going to be free all the time, mm-hmm. but it's definitely going to be a different model than what we're used to right now.
Okay.
It won't, you know, it'll no longer be like, you know, oh, it's Thursday night. This is when my favorite three shows come on. It'll be, hey, I got home. It's time to watch my favorite show.
Okay.
So, and I think that's, let me look, and did I miss anything on my list? No, that's all the things I have on my list.
Okay, then.
Not to suggest that that's the only outdated technology we have that we rely on a day-to-day basis.
Yeah. Well, if people have their, a favorite outdated technology that they didn't think made our list for good reason, then they should write us and let us know.
I mean, there's plenty of other stuff we could talk about, like coal-powered power plants, that kind of stuff, right? Where we could say, look, there are alternatives that we could look into that may be more environmentally friendly. But even so, these have their own sets of restrictions and problems.
Sure.
But yeah, you could argue that, saying like, hey, look at the state of the world. Isn't like anything that burns fossil fuels, isn't that outdated? And I would agree with you in the sense that I think we really need to move to things that aren't going to be as dangerous to the environment.
Mm-hmm.
But the reality of the situation is a bit more complex than just saying, hey, this is an old way of doing things.
Right.
And that wraps up that classic episode of Tech Stuff. Hope you guys enjoyed it. If you have any suggestions for current or even future episodes of Tech Stuff, why not get in touch with me? Send me an email. That's techstuff@howstuffworks.com. Drop by the website. That's techstuffpodcast.com. Make sure you go to the merchandise store. That's tpublic.com/techstuff. And I will talk to you again really soon.
For more on this and thousands of other topics, visit howstuffworks.com.
This is Malcolm Gladwell from Revisionist History. eBay Motors is here for the ride. With some elbow grease, fresh installs, and a whole lot of love, you transformed 100,000 miles and a body full of rust into a drive that's all your own. Brake kits, LED headlights, whatever you need, eBay Motors has it. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride the first time, every time, or your money back. Plus, at these prices, you're burning rubber, not cash. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
You don't have to hop a plane to see the world. This month's Free This Week picks on Xfinity brings you around the globe. Experience life at a European resort in the hit comedic drama Seaside Hotel from Walter Presents. Watch romance blossom abroad in a Scottish love scheme from Hallmark Movies Channel. Celebrate Earth Month with planet-saving docuseries like EcoEye with Duncan Stewart on Magellan TV. And be transported to your happy place with iHeartRadio's Feelin' Good playlist. Just say Free This Week into your Xfinity voice remote.
The wait is almost over. Get ready for the 2024 NFL season as the full schedule is announced. Bring it! Every rivalry, every rematch, every rookie debut, every game revealed. The 2024 NFL schedule release, presented by Verizon, coming in May. Live on NFL Network, ESPN2, and streaming on NFL Plus. Terms and conditions apply to NFL Plus. Visit NFL.com/schedule release to learn more.
With the new Dexcom G7, you can achieve better diabetes results without painful finger sticks. It sends your glucose numbers to your compatible phone or watch, so you can always see where you are and where you're heading. See how food and exercise affects your glucose, making it easier to spend more time in range and lower your A1C. Take control of your diabetes with the number one recommended CGM brand. It's easy to get started today at Dexcom.com. That's Dexcom.com.
Dexcom data on file 2023. If your glucose alerts and readings from the G7 do not match symptoms or expectations, use a blood glucose meter to make diabetes treatment decisions. For a list of compatible devices, visit Dexcom.com/compatibility.